Eagle 98.1 Game Day is on the air.
Presented by your local Super Chevy dealers.
It's time to talk LSU football on the flagship home of the Tigers. Call 225-499-9898.
Live from the Hyatt Regency Atlanta.
It's Eagle 98.1 Game Day.
Now, here's Charles Hanegrip and Richard Dixon.
The perfect ending to the regular season, a Southeastern Conference championship that belongs to the LSU Tigers by a score of 37-10 at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. And the party going full blast here at the Hyatt as the Tigers go to 13-0, stake their claim for the number one spot in the nation. Put a final touch on a regular season that will net Joe Burrow a Heisman Trophy a week from today and maybe net LSU tomorrow morning the number one seed in the college football playoff. From the very beginning, a Georgia miscue and an LSU drive put LSU up 7-0 in a very familiar refrain that we've seen from the Tigers this season. Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase for the touchdown that gave LSU a first quarter lead that, as it turned out, they would never relinquish. On the third drive of the game, Joe Burrow going to Terrace Marshall on a deep completion and then to Terrace Marshall for the touchdown late in the first half. Georgia's best drive of the first half ending in an interception by Derek Stingley to kind of switch the momentum. And then in the second half, it was all Tigers from the very opening drive, which spanned 16 plays and 77 yards to put them up 20-3, to the most unbelievable play we've seen in a season full of them from Joe Burrow that netted 71 yards to Justin Jefferson, and the touchdown that came several plays later that put LSU up 27-3. Another interception from Stingley, another touchdown pass for Burrow, and the issue was decided before the third quarter was even done. 37-10, and for LSU, a storybook season continues for Joe Burrow. The journey of a lifetime continues, and the fans here couldn't be happier, Richard, couldn't be prouder. This was a dominant performance against a very good Georgia team in a stadium that was better than 80% red today, but the Tigers took it to them, and it just feels great for this coach, this staff, these players, this program, and this fan base to be sitting where LSU's sitting tonight.
Charlie, it doesn't get any better. I mean, when you talk about the things that you said, if we're talking about what happened last year to where we're at to now, no one would believe you if you just said, well, you know, Joe's going to throw for over 4,000 yards. We're going to have 2,000-yard receivers. We're going to have a 1,000-yard, you know, running back, and we're probably going to be 13-0. You'd have probably got laughed at, but you know, these guys put in the work in the offseason. They work together so diligently as far as the 10,000 catches. Joe working, you know, with the guys 3 days a week. Clyde, what he's been able to do, and talk about the transformation from the first three games to the last 10. He's been involved in the passing game, running game. You know, today wasn't as much an example as far as getting into the 100 yards, but they have so many different weapons. They can move the ball around, and it is honestly, I mean, I think our 07 team was great. I think the chemistry was amazing. I think we worked together as good as any group, but I don't know if I've seen more of a complete offense than I've ever seen with this team right now.
And the quarterback that is in complete sync with everybody in that offense. He made a joke in the post game that actually I don't think was much of a joke, but it, you know, it got a laugh. He says, I don't need to look at any more game film because they're throwing something new at us every week, but it doesn't matter. Georgia tried a number of things tonight. They came out in the defense that Auburn tried back at Tiger Stadium in the 3-1-7. LSU was able to attack that. They brought some different blitzes at times. He was able to check down out of that. Every look that he has seen, they have been able to counter and counter it quickly. It hasn't been in very many instances.
We haven't waited the half
to
get to there.
No, they have been able to make the changes on the fly. I'll go to the third down, the last touchdown that he zipped in there to Terrace Marshall. They got a look they didn't like.
Yeah.
And the timeout came from the sideline. Play clock was coming down. They went back, and they got exactly what they
smartest
wanted.
Smartest move by Coach O, because Joe tried to fix it. Joe said, look, he let it go down to 1 second. He tried to snap the ball. He tried to get it in, and O knew he was scrambling at that point. Called the timeout. They get a new play. They were going to try to hit a corner route. He comes in and goes, runs Jefferson in the flat, try to get that little mesh route and hit the slant. Beautiful call. I mean, perfect timeout. Things are just clicking right now, the way everybody's working together. My favorite thing that Joe Burrow said, and I believe it wholeheartedly, he said, I don't care where we're playing. take us to Canada, put us in a gravel lot, and I still feel like we're going to beat everybody we play.
The defense that had taken more than their fair share of criticism following the Ole Miss game for the last 3 weeks has been lights out. The Arkansas game could have been written off to an inferior opponent, but last week against Texas A&M, they went up against Jimbo Fisher and Kellen Mond, and maybe they haven't had the greatest of seasons, but that's a formidable group. And tonight against Jake Fromm, who's been in this game 3 times, yeah, Georgia was down a little bit offensive personnel, but the defense has made plays. They've tackled
better.
They've
made the stops when they had to make a stop. That's the biggest thing.
The best way to
put it. They don't let them keep going. When you need a stop, when you want to get up 14-0, get up 10-0, you need 2 scores, they make the stop. They don't let them creep back into the game. And if you listen to Jimbo Fisher has a lot of respect for this defense. And I tell people all the time, everybody gets on to what happens in a half or what happens in a quarter. If you watch what LSU's defense done year in, year out, they've made the plays when they had to. They'll play a half. And that's not a great thing, but I think when they this last couple weeks when they've heard the criticism, they've put the full game together. The defense is getting better. Jimbo told the best the other day. He goes, they have superstars on every level of that defense. You can't say that about Georgia right now. Georgia's the number 2 defense in the country, but they don't have – they play as a complete team. They got 11 guys that know how to fit their gaps and play their roles. But LSU right now has what you can say is a elite talent on the line. They got elite talent in the middle linebacker. They got elite talent in the secondary. And when they put it together, they can be as good as anybody out there.
Fred Ogeron, in his 3rd season at LSU, the journey may not have been scripted exactly this way for him to get the job, for the things that happened once he got the job. But in year 3, he's done what all the great coaches do. Take a situation and make it your own and go through the rough spots in year 1. Show that improvement, that marked improvement in year 2. And by the time you get to year 3, that program is yours and your stamp is on it and your culture is implemented when you do it right. And I can't imagine that when Ogeron put his long-range plans together that the results could have been any better in his mind than they've turned out to be in reality. From staffing, from recruiting, to implementing another offensive system, he has answered every call. And whether you wanted him or you didn't want him or all that stuff, that's in the past now. That is in the rearview mirror.
If you don't want him, you're dumb.
that's really well put. What number you need to know is 13-0. The second number you need to know is the last 10 times LSU has lined up against a top 10 team, they have won 9 of those games.
How incredible is that?
That's not just excelling. That is the elite of the elite, the best of the best, and that's what they are right now, and they deserve a moment to sit back and soak this in. And you've told me many stories and many times about the plane ride home in 2007, and you guys had to wait for the official word that it was coming down and the plane exploded. I think this time they get on the plane knowing that it's ours, we're taking the trophy home, we'll find out where we're going tomorrow, but there ain't anybody in the country that can beat us when we're going right. And today, they were going right.
There's no doubt. I mean, the only difference I feel bad for them, they don't get the huge party on the plane because they had it in the locker room.
They know
where they're at.
I bet you it continues.
It continues. But, they got it all out in the locker room. You know, we're sitting there flying back on the plane ride. It just happens. We get excited. It goes on. But these guys right now, they're executing at an outstanding rate. What they're doing right now, it doesn't get any better. These guys, they have a maturity about them. They're going to only get better. They know that they got to focus on the games upcoming. And you know what? It's right now, I've never felt so confident in a group of young men that they're going to sit back and say, this still, winning this game up against Georgia, this isn't what the season's about. We still got games to go.
You've heard from us. You've heard from Hester and from Jordy Collada. You've heard from Coach O, Joe Burrow, Derek Stingley. Now we want to hear from you. 499-9898 is the number to call. Tell us a story, where you are, who you're watching with, what you're feeling tonight as LSU claims the Southeastern Conference Championship with a 37-10 win over the Georgia Bulldogs. 499-9898 is the Hooters hotline. Give us a call now. This is Eagle 98.1 Game Day from Atlanta, Georgia.
Eagle 98.1 Game Day, presented by your local Super Chevy dealers.
from the Hyatt in downtown Atlanta, 37-10. LSU a winner for the Southeastern Conference Championship over the Georgia Bulldogs. All right, 499-9898 is the number to call on the Hooters hotline. John in Denham Springs is first up. John, welcome into the show.
How about them Tigers, man?
Great win. Great night. Great night.
Yeah, I tell you what, I kind of expect Burrow to be Burrow. But the guy that I'm really impressed with is Stingley. He had a great night, and he does not look like a freshman.
No, he hasn't looked like a freshman all year.
Yeah, I mean, I saw against Alabama, he got burned a few times, but as far as, they always say that the big giant step is going from your first year to your second year. Well, if this guy gets any better, he's going to be phenomenal.
He's already great. No, you're right. He's great. I looked at some pro football focus stats or college football focus, whichever one was. Quarterbacks are having a 60 QBR against him right now. He's averaging a 1.2 yard per pass attempt at him. He's doing things that you just don't see done as a true freshman. He's got 5 interceptions on the year. You can't ask for a better performance from a freshman. And if you listen to the post-game press conference, Joe Burrow said that, "I tested him when he got here. I threw at him when I needed to throw or when I wanted to throw at him just to see what he would do." And Joe said, "Let me tell you, he's as good as advertised."
Richard, what impresses me the most about him is he has the ability to turn and look for the football at precisely the right time. That we see a lot
he
of times.
He reads eyes better than anybody.
Yes. There are defensive backs that are in tight coverage but that will not make a play on the ball. He will turn at the exact, and you can't turn too early because then you can lose somebody behind you. He makes his turn at the exact right time more often than just about any defensive back.
And what that's called is he trusts his technique. He trusts his position. He trusts what he's been trained to do. And that's hard to do. When you're going against guys who are 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", running 4.4s, you never want to take your eyes off him because you're like, okay, what if he nods, moves, and gets past me? But everybody knows where he feels his technique. He trusts what he's taught to do, and he makes the right play.
Real quick update. Ohio State got in with about a minute and a half to go to make it a 14-7 game, but Wisconsin went right back down the field. Couple of big runs. There's a touchdown that is under review for the Badgers. Here comes the official
Stick
call.
Oh man,
they're going to give him first and goal inside the one. Yeah, first and goal inside the one with 18 seconds to go in the first half. Wisconsin leading at 14-7. David is in Watson. David, welcome into the show.
Hey, what's happening, man?
Hey, David.
Man, it was a great game tonight, and I'm so happy to have, this is Sigma Alpha LSU, And I'm just wondering, where do they rank at in college football history as far as one of the best teams?
Because the regular season is what we can talk about right now. And if the rankings end up the way we think they will in the morning, you're talking about four top 10 wins. That to me is what should draw the most weight, is the top 10 wins that you get.
It's hard to say because if you're going to start going into complete teams where you're like, it's a whole new age of football. You're going to have more points scored, more yards run in this style of offense. When you're averaging a minute and 40 drives, the defense being on the field, I think if you're talking about offenses, it's no question it's the best offense in college football that I've seen, and I think statistically they're there.
Burrow's numbers, Cody Worsham did a great job, LSUSports.net, at breaking down Burrow's numbers, not against the players this year that he is competing against for the Heisman, because it seems like a foregone conclusion, but rather putting his numbers up against the last 15 Heisman winners. And he makes an excellent point, a very good argument, that if you took the last 14 Heisman winners and put them in a room with Joe Burrow, he might win that too.
Because
of the numbers that he's put up, these historical numbers.
I think we got
that
a touchdown.
Wisconsin get in?
Wisconsin.
Yeah, Wisconsin got in with less than 10 seconds to go, right at 10 seconds to go in the first half. They're going to try extra point to put them up 21-7. So I think it matters who you beat. In college football, I think it matters who you beat. There's a reason that there's,
but that's why
there's
we
power
feel
five
that
teams.
Way about the SEC.
Yeah, we
you
don't feel that way about Central
lot,
Florida.
Yeah.
So this one's going to be right up there if those rankings fall the way we think they will tomorrow. Little Champ is in Pierre Part. Little Champ, welcome into the show.
Hi. My dad is Champ, a Huddle legend. I give a shout-out to the Huddle. Great game, LSU versus Georgia. The Burrow right. played great.
All right, Little Champ. We appreciate it.
Champ, we appreciate the Huddle shout-out.
Yeah.
You know, the Huddle should have a lot to cheer about tonight. It might be – you know, we talked about the most positive post game we've ever done was when we beat Alabama earlier this year.
Yeah,
I think this might supersede that.
Last week was pretty good too.
Yeah,
the win against Texas A&M felt really, really good. This one tonight feels really, really good. Charlie is in Lafayette. Charlie, welcome into the show.
Hey guys, how y'all doing? How's the glam?
Fantastic.
Couldn't be any better.
Well, I think all the coaches need to get a raise, and then everyone covering LSU football. Including all of y'all need to get a raise, too.
I agree.
Yeah, I'll give you Gordy's email address.
Y'all all brought your A game. You know, even y'all on the after game thing, y'all brought your A game. But, you know, here's the thing that could be happening. LSU gets the number one seed, and they may face Ohio State right off the bat, you know, in the Peach Bowl.
You know, I've been asked that. They're trailing two touchdowns going in the locker room. I got asked in the huddle earlier what I thought the rankings might look like tomorrow if Ohio State loses this game. And Richard, what I gave was LSU 1, Clemson 2, Ohio State 3, Oklahoma 4.
Yeah.
But, okay, Oklahoma's got one loss. Ohio State's got one loss, and Oklahoma would have a conference title.
Yeah.
So
I see that when you're talking about conference titles, but if you say, well, you know what, you can play the card. We had a bad night because we beat them by 28 earlier.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a team we've dominated earlier. It was the second time we've played them. They got our number this time. We just weren't ready. I'm just preparing myself for what the committee's going to do, but I just don't see them dropping past three.
It's an interesting argument because how far does Baylor drop? Okay, does Baylor drop and stay in the top 10? Because that becomes then two top 10 wins for Oklahoma over Baylor. Wisconsin obviously stays in the top 10. So does Penn State. Even though Ohio State, if they lose tonight, they would have a loss to Wisconsin, but they'd also have a win over a top 10 Wisconsin. I'll be honest with you. Okay, do I think that Ohio State is better than Oklahoma? I do.
Yes.
But if I look at resumes and Baylor is, say, 10, okay, and they both got two top 10 wins and the top 25 wins, Cincinnati's falling out. If they've got the equal number of top 10 wins and equal number of top 25 wins when this all shakes out and Oklahoma won their league and Ohio State didn't, if I'm going on resume now.
But now you're getting back into the Visine comment. I mean, the eye test. Are they going to tell you that this team is better just because we feel they are? I think the more interesting conversation is if Ohio State gets back into this game, pulls out a win, what are they going to do? Are they going to let LSU go number one, Ohio State two? Or are they going to say that, well, this is the second time they've had to play them. Everybody knows it's hard to beat a team twice, a top 10 team twice. I mean, there's so many different ways I can see it spun. I think it's going to be more interesting to see if Ohio State comes back and pulls this win out, what they do with Ohio State and LSU as far as 1-2.
I think that's interesting, but I think just as interesting is what if they lose? Are they 3 or are they 4?
The way they've talked about them all year long, the eye test, the way they think they are, if this was a team they haven't played in the regular season and got smoked, I think it's one story. But it's a team they beat by 28, I think, earlier in the regular season.
At the shoe.
Yeah.
How's your eyes? You watching tonight's game?
I'm just
Wisconsin's.
I've been destroyed by what they've told me earlier in the year, and like now I've just expected.
LSU's 30 minutes away from taking all of the intrigue and all of the suspense out of who the number one team will be.
No doubt.
That I can promise
I think it
you.
Should be done already.
Well, I do too. They don't let us vote. They really should.
They should.
Really should.
My opinion counts.
499-9898 is the number to call. This is Eagle 98.1 Game Day.
Eagle 98.1 Game Day, presented by your local Super Chevy dealers.
back here at the Hyatt in downtown Atlanta. 37-10, LSU, your Southeastern Conference champion, and a record of 13-0. 499-9898 is the number to call. Back to the Hooters hotline. Reagan is in California. Reagan, welcome into the show.
Good evening, gentlemen. Great night. Great day to be a Tiger fan. Amazing season so far. A lot left to go, but couldn't be more proud to be in a Central Parish transplant out here in Southern California, pulling for our Tigers. Wanted to call in just because, you know, being a huge Tiger fan, when we get out on the weekends, I'm always sporting some purple and gold. And particularly since the LSU-Alabama game, I can't tell you how often people out here come up to me and are shaking my hand and patting us on the back for a great season to this point. The people out here just absolutely love Coach O, and these people do not know college football at all. If USC is not undefeated playing for something important, they don't even know college football is going on. So to have people that I have no idea who they are come up to me and be proud of our Tigers, it really says a lot to me. My question to y'all is, you know, this national brand that LSU's starting to take on really seems to be taking off. And I wonder, how do you see our recruiting class finishing up, you know, with this brand that we're starting to develop coming down to the stretch here?
It's a great question.
Yeah, the class is already a top three class. There's going to be some adjustments, I believe, to it as we come to signing date here in a week and a half. It's really difficult to say that is true, though. I think most of the class, I would say 90% of the class will be in the early signing period.
The recruiting staff has a hell of a job coming up over the next couple of weeks, and I'm sure the next week and a half that is all the focus is. I got to have a conversation with a couple guys in the recruiting staff last night, and there's four or five guys right now that want to commit. There's two or three guys they've accepted as silent commits, and they're still trying to figure out how they're going to make the numbers work. I mean, we've talked about it's a difficult time. I mean, it's a positive and a negative. You always want these guys to recruit early or commit early, and that's what you push them to. But when you have the season you're having the national brand exposed. Now you're getting four, five-star, one, two, three at the position. You got national guys that are wanting to come to you. And so now you have to make the decision, who do you go with? Of course you want to get the best talent in the world, but you got to play it delicately because you don't want to disappoint any of the guys that you press to commit early.
I want to say that LSU had 20 commitments when they played Georgia Southern. I may be off one or two there, but somewhere in that area. I would tell you that the perception of LSU is drastically different now than it was when they played Georgia Southern. And not just the offense, but overall, okay? How do you think it's going to be to go negatively recruit against Coach O now?
Okay? You can't.
That was a big thing for the last 2 years. Like, that guy's not going to be there long. He was a failure at Ole Miss.
I was told we have 28 commitments, a lot of them being silent right now.
So the negative recruiting against Coach O is off the board. What are they going to say? Can't run a powerful offense? What are they going to say? Can't attract top flight coaches? What are they going to say? Don't have a great facility? Can't get a quarterback? What can you possibly – LSU will not cross the lips of any coach in a living room against that is going for a recruit that LSU is going for. They hope you forget about them. They're going to have to pitch themselves because the negative recruiting is off the board right now. There's no negative argument you can make against LSU right now. There's not a doggone thing that you can come up with say, you shouldn't go there because.
You know what it's going to be now? Do you want to sit on the bench right now?
Yeah.
That's what they're going to start saying. They're going to go ahead and say, look, we think you were great. We think you're good. But, you know, there's a possibility you're going to have to sit on the bench there.
Right. And you have to watch who you tell that to.
Because you might tick somebody off.
Yeah. You know, selling early playing time is a long-time recruiting staple, no matter where you are, no matter how good you are. You sell early playing time. That might be the one thing they could say, well, you might have to sit behind this guy for a little bit.
Well, I literally just jogged my mind and trying to think of what could you say negative, and that's the only thing they have to go on.
Any opposing coach won't mention LSU right now. They don't even put them into their mind. Bill is in Gonzales. Bill, welcome into the show.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I got in. I called after the Vanderbilt game, and I know y'all were about like me saying that LSU gave up two touchdowns and we won by three, right? But there were a lot of people calling in that afternoon with the woe is me attitude, like, oh, Lord, this is Vanderbilt. What's going to happen here? And it's like I made the comment that day, and look where we are now. You know, I said I forgot about Florida, I think, when I made my teams, you know, like Auburn, Florida, Alabama, A&M, or even State and Ole Miss. And it's like, look where we are now. We beat most of these guys. I mean, we could have done better against Alabama and beat them by 2 touchdowns. And I'm not going streaking tonight like on the Dr. Pepper commercial, but I feel like it. And I will have a drink. I don't drink alcohol that much because of a spinal cord condition for 33 years, but I'm going to have a drink later tonight. And
no, just be careful, Bill.
I'm at home, so it's no problem. And it's like,
well deserved.
I love the Tigers. They're playing well. And, I mean, look at all the – I think one of my concerns then was possibly the offensive line and protecting Joe. And they've turned – I mean, they've surprised me. And I talk to Coach O every Wednesday at TJ Ribs about it until they got to a point. And they look well. And I don't know, maybe Dave Aranda knows something about defense that none of the rest of the world does. But all I know is these last two games, they put the quietus on the A&M and the Georgia offense.
They really did. Bill, we appreciate the call. We got a bunch of people waiting, so thank you for
all
the
right,
call.
Thanks
a lot.
The
Vanderbilt game did not bother me at all.
No, you got 66 to whatever it was. I
know, and he's right in the fact that there were a lot of national – 38 points. If you watch the game, those were flukish. There were turnover inside the 1 yard line. You had a blocked, not a blocked punt, but you had a fake punt. I don't even remember. But it wasn't like Vanderbilt went up and down the field on the LSU defense.
They had a couple big plays.
Yeah.
Kind of like to me, and you know, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse at this time. The biggest negative, national media, local media, any other fans in the SEC is, well, Ole Miss put up 600 yards. Okay, you know, that's not a good thing. That's a bad thing. But if you watch the football game, they dominated for a half. It was cold in Oxford, late night. Those guys were ready to get home, and yet they had a bad second half of football.
You know, that game, this is why that game gave me some pause. Not because the game was in doubt, and not because the defense wasn't inactive in the second half. You know, what bothered me about that game was what Plumlee was able to do is something that I think that Justin Fields is able to do. It's something that I believe Jalen Hurts is able to do.
I disagree.
You disagree? I agree
with Jalen Hurts.
The running
Justin
quarterback.
Justin Fields, no.
No, you don't think. Okay. The quarterback running against his team.
Jalen Hurts,
that concerned me. If they end up playing Oklahoma,
that's a concern.
Isn't that the first tape you're popping in?
Yes, no doubt. But Justin Fields is not that style of guy. He's probably at best a 4-6 guy, a guy that you know is struggles with quick lateral movement. He's a downfield fast guy. Nothing like Jalen Hurts and Plumlee. Plumlee is a one of a kind. I know you missed it on the first look.
I did.
He's a 4-3 guy. He's a guy that literally can outrun everybody on our defense. And when he hits that gap, Fields is not that style of guy. I think Fields wants to throw the ball first. Plumlee wants to run first. I'm not as worried about Fields as I am Jalen Hurts, Oklahoma sneaking in there. Hurts will hurt you.
Yeah.
He's that guy. But I also think where I feel confident about Oklahoma is their defense hasn't been able to stop a lot of people. And you put our offense against that defense, it could get ugly.
Oklahoma does a lot of dumb things that keeps teams in ball games. And if you watch them play Baylor today, they should have won that game by 3 scores.
Yeah.
Okay, Baylor had third-string quarterbacks coming off the bench throwing 80-yard touchdown pass. Like, what? Where are you? Hurts threw an awful interception near the end of the first half that cost them points. They did enough dumb things to keep Baylor in the game, and you look at the yardstick, and it's like, what are you guys doing here? That is why I have a tremendous amount of confidence that if it's LSU against Oklahoma here in 3 weeks, LSU's going to win that football game.
Well, and I think LSU has the speed that Plumlee was a surprise to him. I don't think that they really realized that he was going to have counter runs, QB runs, design runs.
I wasn't
to
the
attack
only one?
To him. No, I knew he was fast. I just don't think that was going to be part of the game plan. Hurts, that's going to be part of the game plan. So I feel like when you have, what are they going to have, 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks before?
3 weeks from today.
I'm not worried. I mean, you have 3 weeks to prepare. They'll know tomorrow at lunchtime who they're going to play. Dave Aranda will put a game plan in place. If it is Jalen Hurts, they're going to have a defense to stop that. Plumlee was a surprise at best,
a one-off. Okay.
And I just don't see that. And Fields, no, Fields and Lawrence, they're athletes. They're great athletes. But they're nothing like Plumlee. And Hurts, I think Hurts is great. He's not as fast as Plumlee either.
You know, you and Flynn are going to get kicked out of the Justin Fields fan club. This keeps up.
No. I'm way higher on Fields than Flynn is.
Everybody's higher on Fields than Flynn is. But, you know, Matt knows more about quarterbacking than 99.9% of the population. He doesn't like Fields.
What's great about that is he's wrong. And we have something to say that Matt's wrong, and we get to pick on him every day.
We'll take a break. We'll be back with more here from the Hyatt. LSU wins it tonight 37-10. This is Eagle 98.1 game day.
Eagle 98.1 game day, presented by your local Super Chevy dealers.
Corey Webster in the house with us. Michael Clayton in the house with us. There's a lot of former Tigers. Yeah, we got
Glenn Dorsey. A lot
of former Tigers in here tonight. 499-9898 is the number to call on the Hooters hotline. Michael is in Atlanta. I don't know if he's calling from the other side of the lobby or what. Michael, welcome into the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm actually calling from the car. We're heading out from Atlanta. I was at the Hyatt last night. I heard some of the conversation about, you know, Ohio State versus LSU on who's one, who's two. I guess a different perspective of the argument from my standpoint is, let's say Ohio State went into Clemson and they beat Clemson at Clemson. I think there would be no dispute that Ohio State's the number one team in the country. I think everybody in the country would say the same thing. In my opinion, Alabama with Tua at quarterback is Clemson, right? I think they're both incredible teams with incredible coaches, with talent on the offense and the defensive side of the ball that's going to play in the NFL with really no signature wins. And, you know, Alabama lost to us. Clemson really hasn't lost to anybody. But, you know, that's my standpoint on it. I think if Ohio State had done that, you know, it wouldn't be a question. But
they didn't. They didn't. You know, Michael, here's the thing. LSU is going to have more top 8, top 10, top 12, top 15, top 25 wins, I think, unless there's something I'm missing here.
There's no doubt.
Tomorrow when we do this. And that's going to be the case whether Ohio State comes back and wins this game or not. So if we're going to do that, if we're going to go strength of schedule, strength of record, the hay's in the barn now. All of the games have been played. LSU's going to win every one of those metrics, okay? Now, if you want to slip in some strength of schedule over 12 games and LSU gets dinged because they played Northwestern State, fine, but I don't – this is one thing I actually agree with Urban Meyer on. He says, you know, I'm not really concerned about the bottom of your schedule, okay?
Show me the top.
Yeah, show me the top. Show me the best teams that you played.
Let's go best 5 for 5.
5 is a good number, I think. And that takes out the middle part, and does it really matter?
Because everybody has to have those games.
Yeah, you know? And the middle part, the bottom part of your conference is going to be soft. They played Rutgers. LSU played Vanderbilt, okay? That's not the games I want to focus in on. Does it matter that LSU won by 35 points and gave up 38, or that Rutgers gave up 20? Ohio State gave up 21 to Rutgers. No, I don't care about those games. Okay, I care about what happened when Ohio State played Penn State. What happened when they played Michigan? What happened when they played Wisconsin? I care about what happened when LSU played Auburn and Alabama and Florida and Georgia. Those are the games I'm going to look at if I was on the committee, which I emphasize I'm not.
I feel like we should be at this point because I don't think anybody's spitting more logic than we are about it.
And we're not alone, okay? It's almost like the committee is trying to buck popular opinion for the case of it.
I feel like the committee is trying to justify things at one point.
Very much so.
When you start talking about trying to justify Ohio State's schedule – putting Wisconsin up there, dropping Alabama seven spots, but dropping Michigan and Cincinnati one spot.
Yeah, the Cincinnati game, okay, which I didn't watch any of it because that was on roughly at the same time as the LSU game, okay? Memphis won the game 29-24. They've beaten Cincinnati in consecutive weeks. Both of them were fairly competitive games. Am I supposed to care about that?
But listen,
is that supposed to be the difference between
Ohio
LSU and Ohio
State loses this game to Wisconsin, they're going to say, well, they had to play them twice, and everybody knows how tough that is. They're not going to mention.
I really hope you're wrong on that.
They're not going to mention Cincinnati had to play Memphis twice and lost to them twice.
I really hope you're wrong on the play them twice angle. Because
we're going to.
Look, the championship weekend is what it is. There were teams that could win and not advance. I think Wisconsin is one of them. If they win this game, which they're kicking off here in the second half, I don't think they're going to the playoff. They're going to the Rose Bowl, but I don't think they're going to the playoff.
No, they're not. Ohio State will still stay in because I'm telling you, they're going to make the statement saying, yeah, it was a bad spot. Ohio State dominated this team earlier in the season, but it was just an off week. It's tough to play a team twice.
They better not. They better not. Dale is in New Orleans. Dale, welcome into the show.
Hey, guys. Look, 3 years ago when Ed was hired, I had zero confidence he'd ever deliver a championship to LSU. And then 2 years ago when we're losing to Troy, I'm thinking, oh, my God, what have we done? But he did it. I couldn't be more proud of him and happier for him. Couldn't be more proud of the team. And I don't really care what you rank us. It doesn't matter because we're beating anybody that's coming in our way. Go Tigers.
All right, Dale. You know, given
that's
their
what Joe said.
Given their record against top 10 teams, it's hard to argue the point. You have won 9 out of 10 against top 10 teams. We're going to have to do a little research to find out
how last time that was done.
How many times it's been done, period.
Yeah.
I mean, even the Alabamas, the Ohio States, the USC teams.
Well, so put it to you simple like this. Since Nick Saban's been in Alabama, they've never beaten a ranked Auburn team on the road. So that cuts them out for 10 years.
Well, it might have been the one. Okay. I would imagine that somewhere in this run that they've been on that Alabama has done it. I don't know that Clemson has played 10 top 10 teams in the last 2 years.
Well, they only played maybe 2 or 3 a season.
You know,
maybe one or two.
Yeah, point being that this has to encompass multiple years. Nobody plays that many top 10 teams in 1 year. So this is not a 1 year, oh, that was a dominant team. This is multiple years. This is sustainability.
This is the style of play.
It's sustainability within the program that you can do over multiple years. And I would imagine that it's been done, just off the top of my head, in the last 20 years, I would imagine that Carroll's USC team did it. I would imagine that Saban's Alabama teams have done it. Ohio State might have done it in the Urban Meyer run there at the beginning when I think they opened up. They were 25-0, I think, to open up with him or something like that. But the point being, it's rare.
Yeah.
It's extremely rare. And when you put the Southeastern Conference into the equation, it's even more rare. And so if LSU were to play Clemson in this thing, and you would say, well, let's see who LSU has been tested against, and you start lining those teams up, and you say, well, who has Clemson been tested against? And you start lining those teams up, and there's no comparison.
Not at all.
There's no comparison at all.
And that's been the point of most everybody's complaint about Clemson. But, you know, where I will side with Clemson is when you've won as many games in a row as they've had, you've won national championships, you've beaten Alabama, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and say that you deserve to be there.
They're good. They deserve to be there, and they're going to be there. It's not their fault that their conference isn't good. It's not that their fault that the two SEC teams that they're playing, neither one of them were very good this year. That's not their fault. So the Ohio State score?
Yeah, and that was a hell of a catch.
Yeah, it was. Tight end, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I could do that. Back
all
in
right.
The day.
Buckeyes cut it to 7. Now, that's the first drive of the second half. Took them a minute and a half. Hang on. 21-14, Wisconsin leads it. Jules is in Abbeville. Jules, welcome into the show.
Hey, yeah. Ohio State could still win this game by 3 touchdowns. But anyway, great win by the Tigers. They mentioned something on TV that Stingley is going to play both ways next year. Is that true?
I've heard that. The broadcast is not the first time I've heard that. Richard, what do you think?
No. I think they might have some trick plays. Back when Patrick Peterson was a freshman, when I was there as a senior, we threw him in on some offensive plays just to see what it would look like, have that trick in the bag. I have a feeling that Stingley is in his mindset, he is focused on being a shutdown corner, a top 10 draft pick corner. He'll entertain a few things, but you're not. I just don't see it happening. I mean, if you have the weapons, you're talking about next year having Jamar Chase back, Terrence Marshall, Trey Palmer.
Gracie McMath will be back.
Gracie McMath. There's no reason to involve him in the game.
Not to mention four top 50 receivers in the recruiting class.
Yeah, Rakeem Jarrett and the guys they have right now. I just don't think that you're going to see it happen. You don't want to waste energy when it's not needed, and they have too many playmakers coming back and coming in to involve him in the offensive game.
Yeah.
Good enough. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot. And he's – let's say he –
You don't
– Let's say he played, I don't know, two plays a game on offense, 24 snaps, three plays a game, 36 snaps, and let's say he scored four or five touchdowns on the year. Would it change his draft status one iota?
Is Stingley better than Jamar Chase?
As a receiver?
Game. Yes.
No.
Okay, then why do it? Unless he's the best receiver out there, you don't do it.
Those are the kind of things you do when you need a spark on offense.
When you need a spark on offense. Unless you're telling me he's better than Jamar Chase, you don't put him out there.
No, okay, but is he better than, say, the fourth guy?
Is he better than Terrence Marshall?
Not when Marshall's healthy,
Is he better than Trey Palmer as far as – because we've seen Trey Palmer return punts.
Yeah. You know, he doesn't practice on offense. He played offense in high school. So.
And he's a shutdown corner.
Yes.
Let's leave him there.
I think they've got more than enough talent on that side.
We tried it with Patrick Peterson, one of the most electric guys in all of college football ever, with a football in his hand, and we decided to keep him at DB.
You know who needed him was the Cardinals. The Cardinals needed him on offense. Who's coming through here? That's the former Tigers going out the back door. That's Clayton. That's Bird. That's Webster. That's Dorsey. Just let you hear it. That's the crew. Yeah, that's the former Tigers that are sort of taking a curt call, a victory lap, whatever you will, and they've been recognized here at the Hyatt. We'll take a break and we'll be back with more. This is Eagle 98.1 Game Day.
Eagle 98.1 Game Day, presented by your local Super Chevy dealers.
Back here at the Hyatt in Atlanta, Tigers win it 37-10, win the Southeastern Conference Championship, finish the season at 13-0, the regular season anyway. We are watching Wisconsin and Ohio State. Wisconsin punter just dropped the ball, dropped the snap, and Ohio State picks it up inside the 20-yard line. Now playing a third down that they are not going to convert. So, Richard, a field goal attempt, you would think, coming up here for the Buckeyes to try to cut this thing to 21-17. But it's been a very difficult start to the third quarter here for Wisconsin, who looks like they're starting to feel a little bit of the pressure.
Yeah, and it feels like one of those games where Wisconsin came out the gate blowing and going, and they're going to give it their best shot. But Ohio State, what good teams do, they withstand that blow.
Yeah.
And they show up that second half, and they start chipping back at the lead. When you start seeing things like that from Wisconsin, the drop punt, it's those are the type of things that turn the game back around, and Ohio State's going to stay there. I have a feeling we're going to be a close one. I hope Wisconsin wins, but the way things are rolling right now, I can see them sneaking back in.
499-9898 is the number to call on the Hooters hotline. Tony is in Ville Platte. Tony, welcome into the show.
Thank you for having me. I was just wanting to comment on the offense. I just think this year, I mean, I remember the 2011 year and, you know, we went 13-0 and all this other stuff. But this year, the offense, I just don't think that anybody in the country can stop us. The defense, our defense is playing great now, and I don't see any offenses as good as ours. And I'll just hang up and let y'all comment on that. Okay.
Thanks a lot. Gary Danielson, who I know everybody hates, but made a comment near the end of the game about Georgia's defense. And he said, you know, this is an outstanding defense, but in modern college football, you have to be able to score a lot of points. Sounds simple, but college football, especially in the Southeastern Conference, for a long time was about winning games 24-10, 24-17. even when Spurrier came in and changed things in the 90s, because for the first 60 years of the conference, that's all it was. Spurrier changed things, and then Meyer changed things even further, and then the rest of college football just sort of morphed into spread offenses that defenses were going to be able to slow down, but stopping them when they were run properly was next to impossible. And that's what you're seeing now. Alabama moved over, LSU, you know, one of the old, you know, holdouts on this thing, moved over. I'll be shocked if Kirby Smart doesn't do something with his offense in the offseason. If he doesn't, he's foolish. And I don't think he's a foolish coach. I know he gets a bad rap on a lot of things. Kirby Smart is
Did he have a bad year? The offense was explosive
was
for the last
bad,
2 years.
Was that a bad year?
Was it? I think, to me, they didn't have the receivers. I think Kirby Smart second-guessed himself. They let the guys play the last 2 years.
Yeah.
They had first round, second round, third round. They have draftable receivers. I think coming into this year, they had a defense where that they know their defense is as good as anybody they're going to play. They had a running back that they knew could make plays. I feel like Kirby, honestly, played a similar Les Miles offense. Let's win with the run game. Let's win with our defense, because I don't necessarily want to gamble throwing the ball down the field. And that is a negative in my mind.
You can't win big doing that anymore. I'll be surprised if there's another national championship team that wins playing conservative offense and relying on their defense and their kicking game. You can win a lot of games. Georgia's more talented than 90% of the teams.
Les Miles proved you can win 10 games a year.
Yes, absolutely. If he doesn't make some kind of modifications to his offense, he's got a professional quarterback there in Jake Fromm. I don't know that he's a first-round pick anymore the way we thought of him at the beginning of the season. Maybe
how a year changes things.
Yes, maybe the bloom is off the rose a little bit, but he is a professional quarterback. If he's not a first-round pick, he'll be a second-day pick, second- or third-round pick. He's going to make a roster. He's going to be given an opportunity to compete for a job in the NFL one day. Is he going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL? I'm not ready to say that, but he is a professional quarterback.
Would you have said that before the season started?
Yes. More so before the season started.
I think everybody would.
Now,
I think he was considered a top two quarterback in the draft.
I was never that high on him, but I thought he was a first round quarterback. And now he's come back a little bit. What I like about Fromm is the low interception ratio coming into the game. He'd only thrown a pick in one game, three of them. But the other 11 games, he hadn't. He was not going to put the ball in harm's way with inexperienced receivers that weren't open. He wasn't going to take chances with 50-50 balls. He didn't feel like he had the athletes on the outside, especially after Cager went down. But there's only so many things that you can do within the confines of that offense. You're limited in the amount of explosive plays that you can get. The old-time coaches will say, no, if we execute this, no, I'm sorry, it's not like that anymore. If he doesn't modify that, I think he's missing the boat, because Georgia is every bit the championship-style program that LSU, Florida, Auburn, Alabama could be. You have no restrictions here. There are no recruiting limitations to you. There's no budgetary limitations to you. You're in the right conference. You're playing the best competition. There are no limits. You go to Iowa State, you got limits.
Yeah.
Okay? You go to Tennessee, you got limits. Now, you don't have any limits at Georgia. So you're limiting only yourself. If you do that, that's on you, because you've got everything else in place.
There's a lot of things wrong. I mean, you talk about, go back to last four games. He's completed under 50% of his passes four games in a row.
Because he's reluctant, I think, to put the ball in harm's way with receivers that aren't open.
Did you see what happened when he put the ball in DeAndre Swift's hands tonight, when he put it in the running back's hands? And if you're going to compare, you know, apples to apples, quarterbacks to quarterbacks, Joe Burrow, when things aren't open, he's dumping off. Hilaire had eight receptions that I remember tonight. He was dumping off to check downs, slots, you know, the short routes. He had escape routes. And Fromm just didn't have that. Like, when he didn't have his escape route, he threw the ball down the field. When he didn't have it, he threw it over the middle. He made bad throws, and that's when you're going to get under, you know, when he completed 20 of 42 passes tonight.
How many times did Joe Burrow buy himself time with his feet tonight? How many
multiple times
did you see, not just the 71-yard play that's going to be replayed over and over
again. There was multiple times he moved out of the pocket and makes him the play.
Where if you do nothing other than save the sack and throw the ball away, you've saved yourself 10 yards, 12 yards, whatever it is. How many times did he do that tonight? I can't even count. I mean, a dozen? Fromm doesn't have that, okay? But it doesn't mean that Georgia can't go out the next quarterback. I mean, think about who was in their quarterback room 2 years ago. We talk a lot.
They had a lot of them last year.
You know, over the course of 2 years in the quarterback room, it's Jake Fromm, Jacob Eason, and Justin Fields. Well, Eason is probably going to be a first-round pick. I know he's erratic, but he's got the physical gifts that pro teams love. I think Fromm's got a chance still. He's taken some hits. And I think Justin Fields is going to be a number one pick one day. He may flame out horrifically the way, you know, you and Flynn think. I'm putting you in that boat right now.
Okay.
But I think he's going to be a very high pick. So if you're at Georgia, you can go get the best. Yeah. I mean, you can go get the
They've
very
done
best.
That for a long time.
Yeah.
Matt Stafford, Aaron Murray, they've gone and got 4- and 5-star quarterbacks. Top five quarterbacks since I played. I mean, they've always had those style of players.
They got to look at it and say, we can't do this. We can't win. We
Kirby
can't
has
win everything.
Change.
Yeah, he does. He's got to turn it over to somebody. Let's see. John is in Baton Rouge. John, welcome into the show.
Hey, thank you. I want to give a shout out to LSU alumni. That's the one that really pushed the coach into because Les Miles. Disgrace with that old smash mouth football. You said it. It's a new era. And the alumni, the boosters, all of that, they really pushed the coaching system in the right direction. So thank you for that. Here's the problem there, too.
You know, the LSU alumni, thank you, John. The LSU alumni, we were with them, the Alumni Association, today before the game. They're fantastic. I don't know that their push got Ed Orgeron hired. I mean, I don't know exactly what the last determining factor was in Joe Oliva's mind that pushed him to coach.
We love Scott Woodward and what he's doing, but the last good thing that, you know, Joe did that no one thought he did was hire Coach Ed Orgeron.
Yeah.
And Ed Orgeron has done things that, you know, my family thinks high of him because, you know, he recruited me when he's at Ole Miss. He recruited my brother when he's at Tennessee. We knew what he could do from that standpoint. I've always wanted him a part of this staff just because it is one thing to have a Louisiana guy on the staff and know how to recruit the river parishes. I mean, that's where we get a lot of athletes from, and Ed Orgeron knows how to do that better than anybody.
Your wife ratted you out last night because she told a story of when Ed Orgeron recruited you.
Yeah.
And the fact that how many years later was it that he saw you that you were playing for LSU and he was at Ole Miss and he still knew your sister's name, and he still knew your
mom.
That
was 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, I went over to the stadium to go pick up some stuff.
Tell the story.
Coach O was sitting on his balcony. He's had a couple guys out there drinking coffee. I pulled up in the parking lot, and he hollers at me. He's like, Dixon, you know, from over across the parking lot. I'm like, first of all, I've gained about 50 pounds. How did you realize who that was 70 yards away? And then so I walk up there, and he's like, oh, how's Dick and Carrie doing? You know, how's your sister doing? How's Carly doing? Like, he is so relatable with family members he did this to me 2 years ago when I walked into a practice, and he makes sure to let me know. He knows my mom's name, my dad's name. He knows my sister. How's Travis doing? I mean, you know, luckily for my family, he recruited my family twice. He recruited me once when he was at Ole Miss. He recruited my brother when he was at Tennessee. But still, regardless, the mindset you have, that just tells you what type of person he cares. He digs in. He's got a freaking steel trap for memory to know about all these guys. I mean, it's special. And I'm going to tell you, from a guy that played 10, 12 years ago, it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
You know, you get a good feeling from you when the coach says, how's your mom and daddy doing? And still remembers your name. It's just personal.
I saw something this year, and we talked about it in the postgame that night, that I've never seen before. And maybe it happens and the camera just doesn't catch it. But he went over after the Auburn game to Big Cat Bryant.
Yes, love that.
And said,
I told you you were going to be a first-round draft pick.
Yeah, yeah.
That was so special.
And he's got no reason to go talk to the opposition. Yeah. I mean, he recruited those guys, but
that's who he is.
How many coaches, and I can't say that I can hold everybody to that standard because running a full-time program, I got to worry about my guys. I can't worry about the other guys. But how many coaches
go back? I was offered
back
by every school in the SEC. I've had that happen to me twice.
Who's the other one?
I can't remember their names. That's how bad my memory is. At Mississippi State, the staff, you know, because they recruited me hard because my dad was there. And then at Auburn, the staff that was there, they I had a good relationship. I was close with Auburn going through it, and I had a conversation with some of those coaches. But in 4 years of playing, I was offered by every school in SEC. It happened to me twice, and nothing like that. It was more of like, hey, how's you doing? How's your family?
Sure.
Good to see you. But he's sitting there saying, calling them out by names, talking about, I told y'all, do y'all remember our conversation when we were doing this? I told y'all we're going to be first-round draft picks.
Yeah.
That, you don't get any more special than that.
Craig is in Lake Charles. Craig, welcome into the show.
Hey, Chuck, how y'all doing?
Doing good. How about them Tigers?
I just want to say how good of a job that offensive line did. And I was seeing Richard want to say something about Sullivan, man. We got to get him a touchdown at least before we leave, huh? That's what I'm going to
Sullivan needs about 3 or 4 touchdowns to you know, recommend what he's been doing this year. But I'll tell you what he does do. When he goes outside, he is a guy that people are scared of. You're talking about a guy that has I don't know the stats off the top of my head, but I would say he has less than 12 receptions on the year and still getting a Senior Bowl invite. And when you get those invites, that means there's that many NFL coaches inquiring about you, that many scouts inquiring about you. He's a guy that draws attention every time he steps onto the field.
He was split out wide more tonight.
He played wide out the whole time.
We saw him a little bit. There was a sequence in the second half that Chase went out for a brief amount of time. I don't know if it was because he had dinged something. He came right back in.
It
but
seemed
he
like they were like, arresting some guys that were getting burned.
Missed about half a dozen or so snaps. Wisconsin, nope, missed a field goal. Missed a field goal. 5.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. Wisconsin 21 and Ohio State 17. We'll take a break. We got time for one more call. One more call. Let's go to Andrew in La Paz. Andrew, welcome into the show.
Hey, guys. I was thinking about it earlier, and, you know, the 2011 team was so great up until the national championship, but I have never felt just so emotionally invested in a team like I have this year. Just so many great stories, and, I just wanted to say that I love this team, and, you know, this is what it's all about, SEC champ. You know, we're probably going to be the number one seed now, and I have just enjoyed this ride. Thanks a lot, y'all. I'm going to hang up.
Thank you, Andrew. That's well said. I can't add much to that. 37-10, Tigers win the Southeastern Conference Championship. This is Eagle 98.1 Game Day.
Eagle 98.1 Game Day. Stat check. Presented by Cox Business. Cox Business has fast, reliable internet that's backed by the 24/7 support of perfect plan identifiers, expert listeners, and flexible installers. Expect more. Switch today at coxbusiness.com.
Here's your yardstick tonight for the Tigers. 26 first downs for Georgia, 20. Net yards rushing for LSU, 132 on 36 carries, 3.7-yard average. Again, that's against the Georgia defense that had not allowed 100 yards.
They averaged 70?
Yeah, it was the number one number in the Southeastern Conference by a lot. LSU's defense held Georgia's rushing attack to 61 yards on 25 carries, 2.4 yards per. Passing tonight, Tigers 28 of 38, 349. 20 of 43 for the Dogs, 225 and 2 interceptions. Total offense, 481 yards for LSU on 74 plays at 6.5 yards per play, 286 on 68 plays for Georgia, 4.2 yards per play. The punting, Georgia 48 yards, almost 49 yards per punt on 4. LSU only had to punt it twice for a 45-yard average. Third down conversions, LSU was great in this category tonight. They were 9 of 16. And the Bulldogs were only 3 out of 13. Now, they were 3 out of 3 fourth downs. That was all on the same drive. It was late in the game when the issue had pretty much been decided.
What's interesting about that is they were 3 of 8 in the first half.
They were 3 of what now?
3 of 8.
3 of 8.
So it was a good number in the first half. I mean, it was close to 50-50. It seems like they didn't convert a third down in the second half.
No, they did, and they converted 3 fourth downs, but no, none of the third downs. Let's see, no fumbles in the game. Individually, there was a time of possession stat that I was looking for. 33-38 for the Tigers and 26-22 for the Dogs. Individually, Joe Burrow, 28 of 38, 349, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, 2 sacks. Jake Fromm, 20 of 42, 225, a touchdown, 2 picks. He was sacked 3 times, and Stetson Bennett got in through.
You know, we missed a sack, too. They got that sack early in the game, and they had a dump and got the face mask. And that was
Clark. And it would have stopped that drive.
They
ended up getting three more plays out of it. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 15 carries for 57 yards. Joe Burrow, 11 carries for 41 yards. The sack totals as Ohio State takes the lead now with 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. Burrow sack totals, total 12 yards, so he really 11 for 53, if you will. Ryan Herring, 8 carries for 24 yards for Georgia. DeAndre Swift, only 2 carries for 13 yards in the game. LSU receiving Justin Jefferson, 7 catches for 115 yards and a touchdown. The 71-yarder, the highlight of the game. Terrace Marshall, 5 carries, 89 yards and 2 scores. Jamar Chase, 3 catches for 41 yards and a touchdown. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 7 catches for 61 yards and one of the better stats of the night. Joe Burrow, 1 catch for 16 yards.
Yeah, that's a great stat.
Every now and then we see about, I would say, I don't know, once or twice a year we see a quarterback catch a ball.
I haven't seen one like that to where it was that far deflected and he had to turn and run backwards to catch it. He made a move to get it.
Yeah, I don't remember a guy making 16 yards on a quarterback making 16 yards. Ordinarily you get a ball that's batted back and you might get back to the line of scrimmage if you're lucky. Most of the time, the quarterbacks try to bat it down. There was a game with Seattle and Minnesota Sunday before last.
Russell Wilson, he batted it to an interception.
He was trying to bat it down and ended up batting it up
so
in the air.
Does it, you know, when you just went through the stats, the one thing that kind of surprised me is Chris Curry getting in the game and John Emery not getting a carry.
You're right. Chris Curry got 5 carries for 26 yards late in the game. Ty Davis-Price had 4 carries for 10 yards. Yeah, not sure about that one. George Pickens only played in the second half but had 4 catches for 54 yards and a touchdown for Georgia. Yeah, very, very good. Defensively, 3 players had 6 tackles for Georgia. Lewis Klein, Ronnie LeCount, and J.R. Reed for LSU.
I bet Jacoby Stevens leads in tackles.
He does, and for some reason.
You got to click right here.
Where am I? What am I missing
go
here?
Go back down.
Now
click LSU.
Click LSU. There you go. Jacoby Stevens, 7 tackles tonight for Patrick Queen, 6.
Patrick Queen played a hell of a game.
He had a sack. Chaisson had a sack. Delpit had a sack. LSU with 4 tackles for losses tonight. The other one was that smother job that Rashard Lawrence had on the back resulted in a loss of 4 yards. And those are your stats tonight as LSU wins at 37-10 in the stat that counts the most. We'll take a break, come back, and go through the scores. Here at the Hyatt, the party continues. This is Eagle 98.1 Game Day.
Eagle 98.1 Game Day, the First South Farm Credit College Football Scoreboard. First South Farm Credit, financing farms and land since 1916.
All right, game still in progress. Number 3, Clemson, putting the finishing touches on a win against Virginia. Under 2 minutes to go. They're running out the clock. There may already be over with. 55-17, Clemson will win the ACC. They are going to the playoffs. They're 13-0. Trevor Lawrence threw 302 yards and 4 touchdowns. Travis Etienne had 114 yards and a touchdown for Clemson, who LSU may very well see. T. Higgins had a monster game. 9 catches, 182 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Unless you may see them at some point. May see them in the very next game. They are into the fourth quarter now, going to fourth quarter at Lucas Oil Stadium. Ohio State leads Wisconsin 24-21. Wisconsin led this thing 21-14 at the half, but Ohio State is slowly but surely taking control of this contest. They had a very good drive to start the third quarter. They also had the punter mishandle a ball, gave them outstanding field position. They used that for a score. Justin Fields, who we've talked about a little bit on this show, a couple of touchdown passes. Jonathan Taylor has had a monster night for Wisconsin, 157 yards and a touchdown on the ground for the Badgers. We go to the fourth now. They're within shouting distance, but Ohio State is taking control of that game. They've got the ball there up near midfield as we'll begin the fourth quarter. Earlier today, number 8 Oklahoma beat number 7 Baylor 30-23. Jalen Hurts threw for 287 yards and a touchdown. CeeDee Lamb had a monster game for Oklahoma. He missed the first contest between these two. Well, he was there today. 8 catches for 173 yards. Baylor had 3 different quarterbacks complete passes today. 2 of them for touchdowns. And
to me, that's a knock on Oklahoma.
Yeah. Oklahoma had every opportunity to run away with this. Yes, they could have easily separated the score a couple of times, and just they never could quite shake them. They made some silly mistakes. Hurts threw a very costly interception near the end of the first half that gave Baylor points. So Oklahoma looks like they are headed to the playoff, barring something that I can't see, with a 12-1 record and a Big 12 championship. Number 17, Memphis beat number 20, Cincinnati, 29-24. Second time they beat the Bearcats in as many weeks. They win the American, and they will be the Group of Five representative as the highest-ranked team out of that grouping. They are headed to the Cotton Bowl. Brady White from Memphis threw for 253 yards and a touchdown. Antonio Gibson ran for a 130 and a score. Number 19, Boise State won the Mountain West. They beat Hawaii 31-10. The Broncos finish at 12-1 for the season. Sun Belt Championship in Boone, North Carolina. Number 21, Appalachian State beat UL Lafayette 45-38. Despite four touchdowns and 354 yards through the air for Levi Lewis from the Cajuns. But this game completely different from the regular season matchup that finished 17-7 at Cajun Field in a midweek game. Sometimes we see that, though, Rich. It happens in the NFL a lot. Division opponents play each other, and the second game, the scoring, people that follow totals in the NFL are keen to this stat that the whatever it goes the first time, it goes opposite the second time way more often than the other way
around. There's no doubt, because you learn more about the team. You know how to defend them. You know how to attack them. You usually get a better feel for that team, which leads to more scoring.
Miami of Ohio beat Central Michigan to win the MAC. 26-21 was the final there. Florida Atlantic beat UAB 49-6. They win Conference USA.
The new head coach of the Ole Miss Rebels.
Lane Kiffin has already been named as head coach at Ole Miss. And last night, Oregon won the Pac-12 championship game 37-15 over Utah. It just looked like the stage was too big for the Utes last night. Oregon.
They were outmanned. I mean, it really looked like to me the better athletes were on Oregon's team, and they took advantage of it.
Yeah, I agree with you. SWAC championship game won by Alcorn State. They beat Southern 39-24. This was a close game going into the fourth quarter. In fact, Southern going into the fourth quarter had a 17-16 lead, but they imploded in the fourth quarter. I think they finished with six turnovers altogether, and Alcorn outscored them 23-7 in the fourth quarter to take home the SWAC championship.
But it's easy to say that football in Baton Rouge is good. You got both local teams making it to the conference championship.
Football in Louisiana.
Football in Louisiana, yeah.
Tulane faded late but had a good open to the season. Southern had a very good season. Cajuns had a very good season. So no,
Saints are having a great season.
Southeastern, and hang on, I got to get those. Somebody hand me those scores. That was the 1AA playoffs here. Hang on. Where am I at? Southeastern got crushed. 73-28. They lost at Montana, and Nichols lost at North Dakota State 37-13. They had excellent seasons. They ran into the Northern Buzzsaws in 1AA today. And that is your college football scoreboard here as we watch the Big Ten championship game go to the fourth quarter. Ohio State holding a 24-21 lead. Game Balls is next. Eagle 98.1 Game Day.
Eagle 98.1 Game Day. Game Balls. Game Balls. Game Balls. Presented by Baton Rouge Metro Airport. Baton Rouge Metro Airport. It's about time.
Feel like sharing?
We need to share.
We need to share. You know, they sent us some wings from the bar, and it turned out they weren't for us. We were going to share those.
Then they came
and took them away from us because they were for somebody else.
That was rude.
it was just mean.
Yeah, you know,
it's got been a long day. We're hungry.
We're starving.
All right, so we decided in a very tense and closely debated vote that we would go with Joe Burrow as our offensive player.
We went into deliberation for 10 minutes.
Yeah. We're going to explain it on national television tomorrow. National television is redundant. I'm sorry. 28-38, 349 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions. He was sacked twice. He ran 11 times for 53 yards. Take out the 12 yards and losses for the sacks, and he ended up with 41 yards total. Another Heisman-worthy play on the
he ended the Heisman Jefferson conversation. And yeah. I thought he ended it a few weeks ago.
I did too.
But there's no longer a debate
out
there.
And there really shouldn't be. And on defense, an equally long debate, we decided on Derek Stingley, who in addition to his two interceptions had a pass breakup and five tackles.
No, so he's in the top three and leading in the top four in tackles. He had a hell of a game, and he had momentum-changing plays that ever stopped him from creeping back into the game.
Agree totally. So that's That's our game balls. Ohio State, while we were in the break, scored again. It's 31-21. Wisconsin gave it their best shot.
They did.
And, you know, I can't imagine they're going to come from a two-score down.
They came out gun blazing, but Ohio State is the better team, and we knew that from jump.
We did. We did. So now it depends. We've got about 11 minutes to go. The eye test. Okay. Well, we'll see what Baghdad Rob's got to say in the morning.
I don't want to even watch.
Well, we're going to be here. In fact, we're going to be, you know, Football Sunday rolls at 10 a.m. tomorrow with Jimmy as much as he can rally because he's
– My wife's about to convince really me to change sick. My flight to yeah. stick around for it.
Okay. I mean, we got a staff full of sick people, so I may end up doing a little bit more of this show
so
than I had originally.
So we need to stay away from them.
Well, yeah. I mean, he can stay in his doggone room if he's going to get us. I mean, seriously, our engineer, Rick Cantu, is passing out hand sanitizer. I mean, seriously, everybody on the staff and my wife is, I mean, it's impossible. I'm going to miss next Wednesday, okay? I just tell you right now, I will be sick somewhere between Monday and Tuesday. I'm taking Wednesday off. That's the likelihood. But anyway, we're going to have the show tomorrow, Football Sunday, which is a recap of this and a look ahead into the NFL. Saints got a huge game tomorrow at noon against the 49ers, so we'll have more there. Take a break, come back, and wrap things up here from the Hyatt Eagle 98.1 Game Day.
Eagle 98.1 Game Day, presented by your local Super Chevy dealers.
Back here at the Hyatt, the party continuing here as LSU wins the Southeastern Conference Championship. This in from our friends over at Go247, Billy Embody had this story. He actually got to talk to Joe Brady after the game.
Nice.
Yeah, ready for this one, okay. Asked about his future at LSU and if his future was at LSU, Brady told Embody, absolutely. I think it's the culture of here of whatever we can do for everybody else to have success, whatever we can do to win, that's what we do. We have a group of players, you have a staff, they're going to find anything to go 1-0, and I think that's pretty special.
1-0 has been his thing all year long. I love it.
Yeah, he's very consistent about that. Is that a Sean Payton thing, or did he pick that up somewhere else, or is that just a Joe Brady thing?
I think it's a Joe Brady thing. I've never seen it, you know, anywhere else.
Said, I don't listen to any of that stuff about me being a hot name. I'd say they don't know Steve Ensminger. I enjoy being the passing game coordinator here, coaching these wideouts, and having an opportunity to coach a Heisman Trophy winner. Let's keep it up with two more games to go. Ogeron alluded to this earlier in the week when he kind of gave that little half grin and said, you know, we feel like we're a step ahead on this thing. So we feel pretty good about Joe Brady's short-term future in Baton Rouge. I mean, this guy keeps this up, and, you know, he's going to be he's gonna have a very, very bright future. He has hired an agent.
Yes, he hired an agent actually earlier than we all thought he did, about midseason.
Midseason. Okay, well, that's a smart move.
Yeah.
You know, somebody that's got that many options should have a representation, and we don't think it's Jimmy Sexton, right?
We don't know, and I hope not.
We just told it. Jimmy's had, you know, one phone in both hands all day today.
Yeah.
Between Kiffin going to Ole Miss,
in both hands and a phone in his pocket.
I'm not
on
sure.
Vibrate.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he does. He represent Mike Norvell. You know, looks like Norvell's head to Florida State.
Yep.
That's gonna get done anyway. Great night for the LSU football team, for the program, for LSU fans everywhere. This one was incredibly enjoyable, and was glad I was here to see it. Glad to share the mic with you, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Looking forward to. I hope we, 3 weeks from today, we are right back here,
sitting in the same seat.
Yeah, talking about an LSU win against Oklahoma or Clemson or whatever it is,
wherever,
and set up that national championship game in New Orleans. So this has been fun. They've accomplished a lot, but it ain't over yet. So again, tomorrow, Football Sunday at 10 a.m., the selections are coming down at 11, and then the Saints play at noon against the San Francisco 49ers, a game with major playoff implications. For Richard Dixon, for Rick Cantu, our on-site engineer, and for Musso back in the studio, I'm Charles Haniger saying thank you and good night from the Hyatt in Atlanta. The Tigers are the Southeastern Conference champions. This has been Eagle 98.1 Game Day.